You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, before we get any further, I have to say, I listened back to last week's episode. I always listen to an episode even after we've recorded it. It's very It's very strange, but it's, you know, you sort of, there's no surprises, really. I do remember what I said, usually, because I tend to listen the next day.
Sometimes I think about listening to the podcast back is a little bit like looking at myself in the mirror naked.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're like, you can be harsh, or if you're in a good mood, you're like, you forgive yourself, you know. Yeah. But I'm never happy, you know. I never like listen back and I'm like, oh, we just nailed this one. There's always
sure looking good, Brandon. Looking real good.
It's like true of everything in my life. So, but I did listen back, and I felt like I went a little too hard on your team last week on the podcast. I was teasing you a little too much. I was being a bit of a bully, I think. So, Brandon, this is my formal apology to you. There'll be no bullying of your team this game week.
Wow, that's incredible. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
For you to do that live on the podcast means double.
I'm just reading the script you wrote here, Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, particularly in this day and age, it's good for us to underline that we hate bullying, particularly when it comes. I mean, there are
in
much
the playground or in the boardroom.
Yeah, exactly. And somewhere in between lies FPL. So yeah, we'll keep always cheating a safe space.
Yeah, that should be our tagline. Somewhere between the playground and the boardroom lies this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so a lot has changed since we last podcast, since you last bullied me, Josh. We have our first double game week announcement.
Yes.
We're suiting up for another round of midweek fixtures. So much going on.
That's true. I brought in Eden Hazard. I got 6 points from three players in the first game week of the week, and I still ended up in a green arrow. So that's always a positive thing.
It's a testament to actually getting the captaincy right, which has happened so infrequently this season. So yeah, we both capped Kane and reaped the benefits. And I think a lot of people out there did.
So even though on the last week's podcast, you made fun of me a lot for saying that I thought I was going to end up captaining Kane. I knew by the time Friday rolled around, I would have bet my life that you were captaining Kane. Did you even hesitate? What was the? I just knew it, and it turns out like basically everyone in our own little mini league got captain Kane as well. And what was the rationale? Was it the snow? Was it the Stoke defense? What convinced you?
It was the Stoke defense, but because captaincy choices have been so fraught this season and so hard to get right, I am so susceptible to the groupthink right sure. now when it comes to armbands. And look at Kane. If you notice that the top managers who all listen to Always Cheating are looking to armband Kane, the ceiling on Kane is so high, and then that fear factor of missing out, which would have come true this game week with his brace, it really scares me. And that's how I ended up coming to Kane. I probably would have armbanded Salah just as I had said last week on the pod.
Ultimately, wouldn't have made that much of a difference. You know,
not a huge difference. Yeah, but it was much more happy making to have the captaincy successfully resolved on Saturday.
Yeah,
and we can talk about how I think we mentioned this last week. It's sometimes fun to have the captain on Sunday as opposed to Saturday because, depending on how things go on Saturday, you always have that to look forward to the following day. Yeah. Alternatively, if the captain hits on Saturday, everything goes right, you're a lot more relaxed going into Sunday.
Yeah, I ultimately, you know, part of it too, I guess the snow was a factor. I mean, although that wouldn't have made too much of a difference because I would have just vice-captained Kane if I didn't captain him. But I think the bigger factor was I just felt like Everton were playing a little better the last couple of game weeks. Seems like, you know, I know Allardyce has only officially been in charge for 1 week, but I guess two now. But I didn't necessarily see Liverpool blowing them out. It was a derby game, too. So there was just enough risk there of it not being a high-scoring game, you know, for me to ultimately not pick Salah. In the end, you know, I actually, in a way, I feel like I could have ended up making the wrong choice because he almost had a brace. Excuse me. Early in the second half, he.
You talking about Salah?
Salah, yeah, he had a headed goal that just barely, barely missed.
Yep.
So I ended up finishing on 62 points all told. It was enough for me to jump up to the 28K in the world, which is kind of a nice jump after I fell back last week. So top 30. Top 30K, that is. And it looks like I'm about 20 points above average. It was really I didn't get any, you know, it was
what
really.
What were your moves this week?
Yeah.
So I had your transfers.
Yeah. So I made two transfers. I brought in Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who, of course, I left on my bench foolishly for Charlie Daniels. In my defense, Crystal Palace hadn't scored in two matches in a row. And Bournemouth had kept clean sheets in two of their last three. So I think there's this tendency to you know, we're all geniuses with the benefit of hindsight. You know, like once the results are done, it all makes so much logical sense. But I thought it through. I thought it was a reasonable move. So it was Stephen Ward and Fabianski who kind of carried my team outside of Kane, who I did captain and Mo Salah. But those almost don't count in a way because so many people, you know, in the Super League and elsewhere, you know, have those two players and a lot of them captain Kane too. It was still, you know, captain Kane still felt like a bit of a differential pick because enough people did have Morata and Hazard. Obviously, a lot had Salah too. Some had Aguero, you know, who didn't play a minute. So it was an interesting.
That was shocking to me. I thought for sure that Pep was going to bring Aguero on at some point around the 75th minute just to try and push for that third goal.
Yeah, I thought maybe he was injured. It was very surprising. I mean, I know that Jesus has played a lot of the away fixtures, you know, for Man City this season. But that was strange.
It really was. And I think the stat was that Aguero has scored in every fixture that he's played for Man City at Old Trafford.
I know. So. Okay, your game week, I want to talk. And this is not teasing or bullying, I swear. Okay. Walk me through how you felt when you found out that you lost the De Bruyne assist.
Well,
it was not a just assist, I will say.
Yeah, so it's a weird story of emotions, right? So De Bruyne takes the corner, and there is a clear, big deflection off Lukaku to Silva. And I'm like, well, that's unfortunate, because I could have gotten an assist from De Bruyne, and now I won't. Then I go to our favorite site for live bonus points, anewpla.net, and I see that De Bruyne has been credited with the assist. And it was... How do you explain it? I was
tears, joy.
Yeah. I was happy, and but I felt it was undeserved, and I felt like I was kind of getting away with something. So ultimately, when it was taken away, and let's be clear, when it was taken away after the game, I was already kind of miffed that De Bruyne didn't come away with anything else. He had a couple of good looks at goal, a really nice save from De Gea on a left-footed shot from De Bruyne. And my game week was just kind of mediocre as it was. I ended up on 56 points, so 56 as opposed to 59. It wouldn't have been enough for me to win the head-to-heads that I lost against you or our friend Toby in our mini league.
Yeah.
So ultimately, and I still ended up with the Green Arrow, which I haven't had since like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it doesn't change the story totally. It does make it much more difficult for me to keep this logic going of justifying keeping De Bruyne in my starting 11.
I know. You and I had a little like when I drunkenly like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I was like, you got to get rid of De Bruyne.
And you said De Bruyne is a problem.
He's a problem. He has played like every game somehow. He's completely rotation proof. So you saved your transfer. I mean, you have to be at least thinking about De Bruyne to Hazard, right? Is that on the table, or what are you thinking with your two transfers?
Yeah, so to go from a -8 to saving, it's just like a total 180, and then to get it, it just goes to show you like how burning points is a total crapshoot.
Yeah,
you are right that De Bruyne is a problem for me. For chiefly this reason, he has now become like the most precious thing in my team, and not because he's doing really gangbusters for me, but I feel like he's my one differential, so to speak, with the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
And there is this temptation to just think that De Bruyne is going to come good in some sort of miraculous way that's going to push me up a few rankings game week to game week. So he is a problem because the natural move would be to turn him into Hazard. So with that in mind, what I'm actually thinking now is, do you just want to talk about my transfers here at the start?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, so here the big thing that I'm thinking of doing is only spending one of my two frees and turning Rob Elliott into Perea, the backup Manchester United goalkeeper who's 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't have any huge problems, per se, to solve in my team going into the midweek fixtures. Sané is, he's way out of form. So that is kind of a problem that I need to resolve. But it looks like I can count on Sané to play midweek, and it's against Swansea. So why not ride it out? I'm going to lose value on.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to drop any, like, to, even making like a lateral Man City move before the Swansea game seems kind of like a waste of a transfer or something.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Sané to Sterling or even Sané to Silva. A lot of people are talking about Silva now because he's back-to-back goals, but his goal output this season has not been terrific. So I think there are much better options than David Silva. And I'm wondering if I can wait until Pogba is back on the market and bring Pogba in for Sané.
It's like a value thing then, right? Because Elliott's about to fall, it looks like.
Yeah, it's a little bit like what I was talking about last week with Loftus-Cheek. And a part of me burning 8 was just to bring in Loftus-Cheek at 4.5, because what is the point of Loftus-Cheek at 4.6? It's a total psychological
thing. That's the same rationale that kept me from bringing in Andrew Sermon, 6 weeks ago or something. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want him at 4.7.
Yeah. You missed out.
Yeah, I have missed out. He's on 5-6-3-2-7-5 the last six fixtures. He's like the best sub 5 million player you can get.
Yeah. So here I am with Rob Elliott. A lot of us have Rob Elliott. You have Rob Elliott. He's going to drop in value tonight. We're recording on Sunday evening. And I'm never going to play Rob Elliott. If I'm starting De Gea every week, regardless of the fixture, why not take an opportunity to just dump him and actually put 0.2 in the bank? Doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of money, but it could come in useful later on.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. So you already made the move. I mean, the clock is ticking, Brandon.
The clock is ticking. It'll probably tick over while we're recording. So
might pop in and make the move.
The issue that I know I will regret later on is De Gea, two Manchester United goalkeepers. I only have one United spot left in my team. What happens at some point in the future? I need to get Lukaku and a United midfielder in. because that is a conceivable thing that could happen.
It's conceivable.
Maybe like a double yeah. game week or something like that. Probably wild carding into that situation.
That's true. That's true. That's an interesting wrinkle. That is true. I don't know. That's a tricky one, Brandon.
That said, okay, here, let me run one more thing by you.
Okay.
I could turn Sané into Hazard going into the midweek's fixtures, but I'd have to lose Morata, and I would downgrade Morata to Roberto Firmino. And I know that is
silly. It's a unique move. I don't know if that's silly. I think it's an interesting move. We'll talk about Morata later. So let's get into... Morata will come up later on in the podcast. So let's move into that. I think that's an interesting move, though. So you'd burn four to do that.
Well, no. If I have two free, so I can do the one. I'd have to keep Rob Elliott, but then I can do Sané and Morata both out for Hazard and Firmino. Yeah.
All right. If this is hard for me to wrap my head around, I'm sure it is for everybody else. So we'll...
I am playing 4, 5, 6-dimensional chess, people. Keep up. Just try to keep up.
All right. Well, those all seem like logical moves. I might actually take this week to finally resolve my my long simmering Chalobah problem. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get him out forever. It looks like he's had like a setback in his recovery. Chalobah is never going to play a single minute in my team, even though he's been sitting at the end of the bench just losing money forever.
He's like the Emmanuel Adebayor at Crystal Palace on your team. He's just chilling in the weight room, eating his corn muffins, not doing any work for you. Just get him out of there.
So on this podcast, we basically have one big topic we're going to get to in a minute here, which is always cheapies, we're calling it. And these are value forwards, midfielders, and defenders. We're about to run into basically the festive holiday period is here, Brandon. It's officially here. Maybe it started this weekend. Maybe it starts this Tuesday. I don't really know when it counts. But we've got midweek
fixtures
this week.
It started snowing. I think that's got to count for something.
It's got to count for something. Yeah. It was very attractive TV this morning, too, wasn't it, with all the snow?
It was beautiful.
Yeah. So we've got midweek fixtures this week, fixtures next weekend, and then, you know, four fixtures in 2 weeks, basically. It's just nonstop. So a lot happening. And we're going to talk about value players because you really want as close as you can get to 15 starters, you really want to have them, right? You know, going into this fixture list, because in many cases you have games, you know, 2 days apart, and, you know, certain players, you know, the Phil Joneses of the world are just not going to play two games in 3 days. You know, it's like a lot of these players aren't going to play two games in 3 days, and you need to have, you know, players in your bench who can come in and at least pick up 2 points for you, right? Because, you know, 2 points here, 2 points there. You know, it can really add up at the end of the season. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And ideally without burning too many points to do it either. You don't want to just, you know, a -8 to bring in players who start. I mean, you may never recoup that, you know.
There's something that's damaging to the morale, not fielding a full 11 game week to game week. So we're with your morale in mind.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to try to boost some morale here. I've even pulled some stats. I tried to do an actual... there may be some actual knowledge in this game, Brandon. In this podcast, it's a little bit of a change from what we typically do around here.
Well, we'll see about that. I might be able to deflate your expectations there.
Yeah, I did like what I sent you the running order. I said you might actually want to look at these questions this time. all right. So reminders before we get into it, Brandon, I had a lot of fun this weekend. So we started a Slack account for our Patreon supporters. You can support the podcast. By the way, this is Pledge Month, Brandon. This is December Pledge Month.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the podcast, you've got a couple extra bucks. Maybe you got a holiday bonus. Maybe you just want to support the podcast, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you never want to, that's okay. We're fine with that as well. But if you can, patreon.com/alwayscheating, multiple pledge levels. And there's three total, and two of the three you get access to our private Slack channel. You can hang out with us and a bunch of, it's just a really smart, nice group of people, with a really awesome rant and rage thread that I was really enjoying this weekend. There was a lot of rage, a lot of Hazard captors and others, and it was a good place to vent. And, you know, Twitter, the venting, it all gets lost. You know, it's like you vent and then there's 80 more tweets and it gets lost. But, you know, you vent on Slack and it's just there for everyone to see. It's very satisfying.
In perpetuity,
the
yeah.
It is, exactly. So Slack is basically a private chat room, and it's got a bunch of different channels, and it's a lot of fun. So if you want to do that, we're live chatting during matches. And I'm actually, I have this Wednesday off. So, you know, as As an American, these midweek games can be very tricky, but you and I are getting oysters on Wednesday afternoon, and I'm going to watch games afterwards. I'm going to try to get you to come with me. I'm just seeing if you can cancel your afternoon meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how my boss, everyone listening knows how my boss feels about my FPL team anyway, so I'm sure he'd understand.
You might need to invent a sick cat or something. patreon.com/alwayscheating is how you can support the podcast.
And yeah, I just want to chime in real quick about our pledge month. We have a new button design, actually, that we made that we're going to post to the Patreon page this week. So if you want to support at the highest level on Patreon, we're going to have a new button design. So check out the Patreon page to see what the design is. What do you think of the design, Josh?
I love the design. I think it's really cool. And if you are a Patreon supporter at the highest level and you want these new buttons, we'll actually send you a new button. Just send us a little email to Hail Cheaters or tweet us or whatever, and that'll be a thank you to our longtime Patreon supporters.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the button itself is kind of a blast from the past of one of the most memorable FPL seasons in recent memory.
Yeah, exactly. We also have a newsletter. We started a lot of stuff this week. The newsletter is called Cheat Codes. We already have a lot of subscribers, way more than I was expecting, which is awesome. And for anyone who's subscribed and doesn't really even know what it is yet, we're still kind of figuring it out. We want it to be useful and sort of topical and sort of has like the latest news. You know, the podcast comes out on Sunday or Monday. Something happens, breaks during the week. We want to be able to cover it in this newsletter. And we also, I had this idea for it that I thought we'd have three good links each week, just three links. They can be fantasy related. They can be just interesting soccer articles. But if you have links that you want us to share, this can be stuff you created or just stuff that you read that you thought was really great and that you think should get a wider audience. Then message us on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and let us know because we'll do another one of those later this week.
And in the newsletter, we're also featuring what we're going to talk about a little bit later, the OA's cheapies. And the rule for this starting 11 in our newsletter each week is that the cheapies are only players from teams outside of the so-called top six, right? So no United, no City, no Arsenal, no Spurs, no Liverpool, no Chelsea. Right. And our OA's cheapies from this week's cheat codes scored 46 points. That's not bad, even with a
very solid
captain on Vardy, which didn't work out, but 46, we have to be proud of that.
Should have kept it on Charlie Austin. That's what you had suggested, and I called an audible there. Check that out. Oh, and just I'll throw in a free little bonus bit of information here, Brandon. Because I am available on Wednesday and just watching matches, anyone who wants to play me in starting 11, just message us on Twitter, and that's starting 11 Daily Fantasy, and I'll take on anyone who wants to play. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. And just about the newsletter, if you want to sign up, just go to alwayscheating.com, and there is a place right there to plug your email in. It's very simple to sign up.
Yep, exactly. So, Brandon, so the new game week starts in 2 days. Question here from FPL Stag. He says, who should we all worry about getting rested? Could it be the whole Chelsea team?
It's an interesting one. I mean, Morata has been playing nonstop. He is a big worry of mine. Obviously, Conte doesn't like Batshuayi very much, though. He's just coming back from injury. He could play Hazard up front and rest Morata, but he's the one from the Chelsea squad that I have my eye on.
Yeah, I think it's really tricky to it's easier, to figure out who's going to play. Then it has to, we know that Coutinho and Firmino are almost certain to start at midweek, right? I'd be stunned if they didn't start.
Absolutely, yeah.
Other players who were arrested, I'm trying to think of, I feel like there were a couple on Saturday too, who I'm just forgetting now, but players who, it's really hard to, even a team like Man City, I mean, it's just not clear, who's going to be arrested for them, right? I mean, if you told me that Jesus was subbed off at the 58th minute, I would have thought that either he and Aguero started together or Aguero came on when he was subbed.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would just go with a strikerless, formation.
Yeah, we just have to get out of that game altogether in terms of predicting Aguero or Jesus. It's just it's unpredictable. Can't do it.
Yeah. So to answer the question, I don't really, you know, maybe Murata, possibly Salah, right? I guess there's a chance that, you know, he did play the full 90 of the Champions League and then he played about 65 minutes today.
The fact that he subbed off
makes me feel a little more confident he'll start.
Yeah. I mean, can we talk about how kind of naive Klopp's management of that game was? And we could argue about how that team has performed while resting Coutinho and Firmino. They've done fine in other fixtures. But then to on a one-goal lead, just take your talismanic figure off the pitch, I would assume he's only doing that because he wants to play him midweek. So that's how I feel.
I mean, you're probably right. Although he did run a lot, he played a lot of the midweek. Maybe he felt like he was flagging a little bit. I don't know. But that game was. I just feel like, and maybe this is just how I feel, it just seems like Liverpool have followed up so many of their like 7-goal games with like 1-1 draws or, you know, I don't know, 0-0 draws.
Yeah.
I feel like they never destroy teams twice in a row. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's someone could pull a stat and they won, you know, 2 games, 5-0 this season. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels like they run into like a Burnley the next week and then they, you know, draw 1-1 or something.
Hey, Josh, I have one quick other question for you about the Merseyside derby. What song was Sam Allardyce listening to on repeat on that headset?
Yeah, I don't know. I bet it was like one of those like English songs that like, remember like when Paul McCartney would, you know, do a song like, Oh Honey Pie or whatever. And It was supposed to be like a reference to like some song that he heard in the 40s, you know, in his childhood or whatever.
Well, obviously.
That's the kind of music I think he's listening to.
He's listening to Oh Honey Pie because he legendarily loves pie. Just makes him feel really good.
He just plays the Beatles Honey Pie just on a loop.
Yeah, or Flaming Pie, the other Paul McCartney like solo album, all sorts of pie related. So it's like a whole playlist related to pie.
That's true. All right, Brandon, the always cheating Super League top 10. I'll do it this week. Number 10, Clichy's clean sheets. Fabio Borges back in the top 10. Number 9, Yogi's picnic basket. Jorgen Rogeberg, perhaps.
Nice.
Two girls, one schlup. Andrew Ferguson in 8th. The art of the dive. Marco Reyn in 7. I think that's a new entry, Brandon. The top 10.
Yeah, we haven't seen Marco before, to my knowledge. Love the team name. Very artful.
It is. It's more words than you typically see in a team name. I'm impressed you got 5 words in there. Enter Shaqiri by Scott Powell is in 6th. Berbashov, good name. Andre Bergstrom in 5th. D-Boy United. I know what D-Boy means, Brandon. In 4th. 420.
I make dough, but don't call me Doughboy.
420. I actually don't know what D-Boy means. 420 Fedora Fanatics. We'll see is in 3rd. Football Friend FC Nick Tudhope in 2nd. And the number 1 this week, Bob Fascio, Abdul Hudson is in 1st place with 66 points. Welcome to the Always Cheating Super League, Abdul. And I think that he is...
He broke into... He's got 1,006 points.
1,006 points, and he is ranked 98 overall. So nice to have anyone from someone from the top 100 in our league, Brandon.
Yeah.
But we welcome all comers, whether you're 5 millionth or 98. Come join our league. If you're above 98, don't join because you make us feel bad.
Yeah. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like me and you're ranked somewhere around 600,000.
Exactly.
You can still join the Always Cheating Super League. Oh. Just go to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab. There's an auto join button there, and the league code is all over our social media. So do it now.
Exactly. Two rants before we take a quick break. Jorgen Orstad Johnson. I like this one so much. I actually told my wife this one. She laughed a little bit. You know,
I'm sure she did.
Yeah, FPL humor doesn't really translate, does it? Jorgen Orstad Johnson says, I took a hit to swap Kane out and Hazard in. Do I have any reason to live? It was a -8. If I continue to live, what have I learned?
I think, Jorgen, you have learned about the chaos theory that Dr. Ian Malcolm goes into in great detail in Jurassic Park.
And the new, apparently, Life Finds a Way is in the new Jurassic Park trailer.
So, you know, there's just no legislating for this, Jordan. You just have to move on. Put the past behind you. It never happened.
Exactly.
Don Draper.
Exactly. Don Draper talking to Peggy Olson.
Yep.
And, you know, you can't look at a hit in a vacuum. Now, I would never have taken Kane out for a hit. I will admit. So, Joran, you and I don't play the game the same way. That's all right, though. That's okay. You know what? Peter Blake took out Harry Kane this week, too. And when Kane scored that first goal, I thought, ooh, that's tough for Peter. Because he was very – I mean, we like Peter a lot. He was on, you know, a Patreon podcast. And he's a really nice guy. But he, like, was very much like, I am going for it this year. I'm going to try a new strategy. I'm going to take Kane. And I was all in on it. I mean, I didn't think it was going to work, but I was all in. Just because I like the creativity. I like when people don't, you know, go with the template. It's just – like, maybe it doesn't work, but, like, it's kind of boring to play the same way all the time, you know? Yeah. And – it's a problem. I've actually tried to be a little more boring this year, and it's actually helped my team. But I still think that that at least finding your, you know, picking your spots, you know, finding ways to be creative.
Yeah. One other rant we have here, Josh, from Ian Wilson, who says stayed at an overall rank of 18K for 3 straight weeks, then missed the cup qualification. So I guess this bears mentioning is that the scores this week in game week 16 determine who made it into the FPL Cup on the site. And you had to make it, I think people are estimating on Reddit, I saw at least over 35 points. You're probably guaranteed a spot in the FPL Cup.
You know, I have to admit, I've never cared about the FPL Cup. I don't think I've ever made it past 2 weeks in the FPL Cup. I always end up playing someone from like Bulgaria who has like, you know, the eighth highest score of that game week and like in week two. What's the farthest you ever made it in the FPL Cup?
Maybe 4 weeks. Maybe exactly. 4 weeks. And I was just really riding my luck every step of the way.
A 5 million person head to head. Like there's a lot of luck involved.
It's strange timing too, because I always associate the cup with being at home with my parents for Christmas. And I feel like 9 out of 10 times I'll see that I got knocked out of the cup while in my parents' house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, states away.
That's true. I'm always it's often an afterthought. I'm like, oh, I had a crappy week. And then I'm like, oh, and I'm out of the cup, too. Oh, come on. All right. Let's take a break. Before we do, just one last thing. Football Survivor, our Patreon Survivor League. We're down to 3 people, Brandon. The 3 people who picked Leicester to win. Palace and Arsenal were the knocked out the other 3. So Toffee Breath, Hugh Paw, and Rick 1985 are the final 3 managers.
Wow.
The winner gets to come on the podcast. So that's quite getting down and dirty here.
It's a huge gift. And that Leicester game was a real nail biter for all those guys. I'm sure it was down to the wire.
Yeah, what would have happened if all 6 of them had been knocked out? We have had 6 people on the podcast, just an endless...
No survivors.
We've already promised like a half dozen people to have them on the podcast at some point. It's impossible. The problem is, okay, listen, we will have more guests on the podcast. It's good to break things up. It's, you know, people don't want to hear the same voices all the time. I do get that. First of all, I like talking to you, and, you know, it's hard to find the right person. You know, sometimes it doesn't work. You know, sometimes it does. It can be a little tricky with the time, I will say. Just, you know, I've got my kid is basically screaming from like 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I should just come over to your house. I mean, you and I should just record. We should call somebody else.
That'd yeah, really my wife doesn't mind. She enjoys your company.
That's right. Exactly. We've known each other for about 10 years now. All right. So let's take a break and we'll be back in just a moment.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
We're back, Josh, and all the questions that we're getting this week relate to budget players, more or less, what we're now dubbing the always cheapies. And we've got a lot of players who are coming into form, like Charlie Austin, Mounier at Huddersfield scored another brace, coming back with style. So we want to talk about forwards, midfielders, defenders, people who are sort of plugging the holes. Maybe you've experienced injuries in your squad, or you have somebody who's just not pulling their weight that you need to dump for another budget player. So you laid out some stats here in our running order, Josh, and we're going to get started with forwards. So who do we like in the forward realm of always cheapies? We pulled out these 3 particular players. Everyone's favorite art experiment, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
That's right.
And I want to say for the record, I was the first on board with Dominic. It must have been like game week 3.
It almost it almost shouldn't count because you never ever start him.
That's fair. That's
somehow
fair.
Like you only get the points when you've okay. And I'm not making fun here, but it's just like you've had very bad luck with DCL. I feel like is
yeah.
The, like when he gets like an assist or something, somehow like he's like you know none of your all of your starters play.
Yeah.
But then when he like when you have like a defender who you know can't play for some reason or whatever, and he comes in.
It's 60 minutes and on a one-pointer from DCL.
Right, exactly.
Players like this, and this is where budget players get really, you know, crazy-making, is that is often the case. You just don't know when to take them off the bench.
Yep, that's true. And so I kept them on the bench myself this week, and it cost me 4 points. So, yeah, definitely. So as you mentioned, Brandon, Mounier versus Charlie Austin versus Dominic Calvert-Lewin. There are other options, too. There's... you know, I think Tammy Abraham. I don't think either of us are really believers in Callum Wilson, not because I don't respect him as a player. Okay, there's two reasons. One is I think he's rotation prone. The other one is Bournemouth are about to play Man United, Liverpool, and Man City.
Terrible. Over the next
three fixtures. Terrible run of fixtures. It gets better after that. So I'm in a situation with Daniels now where I wonder if I just ride it out, you know, if I just put him on my bench for... I don't want to burn a transfer to drop him necessarily.
Right, particularly when you've got guys like Mbemba and Chalaba that you could resolve in the meantime.
Exactly, and I've got West Ham, Everton. So the holiday fixtures are it's game weeks 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Those are the six game weeks that we're talking about here. So, yeah, if you can get past the first three, then game weeks 20 through 22, you've got West Ham, Everton, Brighton. A very good run of fixtures.
Yeah,
Anyway, I don't know how I started talking about Charlie Daniels. Anyway, it's kind of interesting to compare the three of these, and in some ways, you really can't compare them because they're very different players. You know, so Calvert-Lewin is kind of like he's played in different positions. I mean, I'm actually looking at his heat map right now. I mean, his heat map looks like someone like Dele Alli or something like that. It's more of like a winger's heat map.
Yeah, he definitely started out wide against Liverpool, and then slowly sort of as the shape changed, as the system changed, when Nias came off at halftime, he moved into the middle.
Right, exactly. So he is playing a lot. I mean, of these three players, he's the one who's played, you know, 90 minutes the last few game weeks. It does seem like he's found... you know, some security there with Allardyce. I think Allardyce, you know, likes the way he fits into his team.
He's a trustworthy player. The stat that everyone was talking about this past week was that he has won the most aerial duels of anyone in the Premier League through this point in the season. You could see that in spades against Liverpool. All the balls that they lumped up to him, he, at the very least, he's getting his head on them. And Lukaku can't say the same. And, you know, one out of every two times he's keeping possession for Everton. So a guy like Allardyce is going to really respect somebody who's able to hold the ball up like that. Even with he's got kind of a small frame too. I'm really impressed that he's able to maintain that much control.
He's young. He might fill out a little bit too. I mean, I think he's about like 21 or something like that. So he is, and he's also the cheapest of all these options. He's 5.2 million. Charlie Austin.
He'll probably be 5.3 by the time this podcast goes up.
Right. So, yeah, he's 5.3 when the podcast goes up. Austin is 6.1 as of this recording. So the thing about Calvert-Lewin is you could probably start him if you needed to in four of the next five fixtures pretty comfortably. They play Newcastle, Swansea, West Brom, and Bournemouth in four of the next five. The other two matches are difficult. It's Chelsea and Man United, but they are home fixtures. So it's certainly possible he could do something, right? Even just draw another foul in the box. Seems like he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to DCL, let's talk about the Liverpool match versus the match they played last week against Huddersfield. Everton, Allardyce didn't try to do anything against Liverpool. They were very fortunate in DCL drawing that foul against Lovren. But he looked so good against Huddersfield. Goal and assist, was smart on the ball. There was great attacking play. So we've seen one game so far with Allardyce in charge where he went for it attacking-wise. Granted, they were at home against one of the worst teams. But I don't know if we can judge future DCL performances on how they played against Liverpool. Because, like you're saying, better fixtures coming up, I think we'll still see better from DCL, too.
Yeah, and okay, so let's move on to, and I think really it's Austin and DCL that I'm really interested in.
How does Mounier make it onto this list? Because he picked up
a brace over the weekend. He's 5.7. Nobody owns him, right?
He hasn't been playing at all. I mean, he finally broke back into the starting lineup this game.
Long-term injury, though, right? I mean, it's a long-term injury. Finally makes his way back on the team and picks up a brace. I mean, I think that probably indicates that he's going to – I don't know.
Isn't he their most expensive transfer of all time at Huddersfield? Something like that?
I'm not sure. I feel like Aaron Moy cost a lot when they bought him, too. But, yeah, maybe.
He's up there.
Yeah, he's up there for sure. I think that he's – I mean, I actually just – I liked him a lot the first few weeks of the season, right, before he went down with an injury. He was a player that I think a lot of us were looking at as a third striker, sure. Cheap third striker.
And speaking of art projects, his replacement, Laurent Deporte, or however you say his last name, one of the craziest hair plugs you ever hope to see. like he puts Wayne Rooney to shame, his crazy, vertical hair plugs.
They weren't exactly tearing up the league with their goals when they weren't playing Mounier. So I do think his starts are secure. I mean, the concern there is more about the team itself and whether he'll have enough chances. I mean, the two goals he scored were both kind of lucky goals. I don't know if you've seen the highlights of them.
I did, yeah, and agreed with your assessment there.
So of the three, I mean, the one just in a vacuum that I like the most is Charlie Austin, right? I mean, he is, I mean, talking about heat maps, I mean, look at his, there's just a giant red spot in the box.
He's getting the ball right where you want your striker to get it. He's a great header of the ball. You saw that against Everton. Yeah. I mean, they weren't marking him at all on those goals, but he, of these three guys, probably has the most clear-cut goal-scoring instinct
And you've had Austin in your team in the past, right? If enjoying having a player in your team matters to you at all, he is like the most fun player you can have, right? Yeah. Because he's never that expensive. So your hopes are never usually that tied up in him. But he's insanely aggressive and he gets the ball constantly. He'll come back. He'll get the ball and he'll bring it up too, right? He's just a very aggressive. He's just a fun player. Natural goal scorer. I mean, really could have had, two or even three goals in today's match. The problem with Austin is he's a little more expensive than these two, about a million more than the Dominic Calvert-Lewin, maybe 0.8. And his fixtures are a total mixed bag, right? They play Leicester and Huddersfield at home, two of the next three, but then they play Chelsea, Spurs, and Man United away in three of the next five, right? So game two, in 2 weeks from now, they play Chelsea, and then they play Tottenham, and then they play Man United away. Followed by Crystal Palace at home. So it's like there's really the good with the bad. And if those difficult fixtures were at home, I might feel differently. But because they're all away, it kind of gives me pause with Austin.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And I would be shocked if Gabbiadini doesn't get one start during the festive period. I mean, no, not that you couldn't stand to have your third striker, like we're going to do with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, rested or benched on your FPL side, like once or twice or three times during the festive fixture. But that's something that gives me slight pause. But I think if they say we just had like a standard run of fixtures with Charlie Austin where they were just playing every Saturday, no midweek of any kind, I feel like the way he's playing now, the way Southampton look, he'd just be nailed on. He'd be starting every match. But they'll probably have to monitor his fitness.
If I were to put a button on this, I think if you're looking for a cheap striker that you can primarily keep on the bench, Calvert-Lewin's your pick. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a striker that's going to get you some could possibly get you some pretty big returns, and you have a little extra money, then Austin is the pick. And if you just want to be different and you're trying to make up ground in your league, then Mounier is the pick.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And a lot of these budget questions, right, they all come down to how much money do you have and what other problems do you have to solve?
Just bring in Morata, guys. Come on. Yeah, what's the problem?
Don't have Kane? I guess I would take Kane over Charlie Austin. Not a big deal.
All right, midfielders. I got a lot of good questions here about midfielders. And so there's really some issues here. There's kind of two big problems, I'd say. One is that it looks like Aaron Ramsey's going to be out for about 3 weeks with a hamstring injury. So a real problem there for
year of the hamstring.
And the worst possible time, right? Those 3 weeks are – there's six fixtures in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, the question for Arsenal is does – you know, does that turn into does Jack Wilshere go into that role, or is there somebody else? Is it a mix of different players?
I'm having a stomach ache now just thinking about the fact that I had Alex Iwobi in my FPL team in game week one.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
FPL Booster asked who to bring in for Ramsey, a Stoke mid, Wilshere or Siggy. Now, I don't know. I cannot advocate for Wilshere on this podcast for two reasons. One is I don't think he's going to get consistent starts.
Yeah.
The second one is he's not really a natural goal scorer. I know he scored a goal in the Europa League a couple days ago, but he is not. He's just, you know, Aaron Ramsey can score and pick up assists, and that has never been Wilshere's game, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think I would when someone like Shaqiri is available at a very reasonable price, I feel like he's really one of the ones I'd look at. And so let's talk a little bit about some of the midfield options that are available right now.
Yeah.
Because another person that Daniel B on the Slack had a question for us. He said, you know, is Lingard starting to look like an option as a cheap fourth or fifth midfielder? He's consistently starting even with Martial and Rashford. And there's also there's three different people we're talking about here. A couple questions about Richarlison. So Will McLaverty says Wilshere for Richarlison. Jeff Petter asks if Richarlison has run his course.
Uh-huh.
So all right, so we got Richarlison. We've got, I don't know. No, I'm confused. Basically, we're going to talk about Lingard and Richarlison. And
we got
Ramsey,
a whole mess
others,
of
okay?
midfielders here.
It's like, yeah, if you turn off the podcast right now, I do understand. All right, so what do you think about Richarlison? Let's start with him.
Yeah, okay. So I'll say this for Richarlison, and this is, you know, slightly skewed because I am a Richarlison owner, so I'm going to put a positive spin on it. But so I was watching the Spurs match on the main screen, and then I was doing a bit of the goal rush. So I was just getting the highlights of the Watford match. While Richarlison doesn't do anything, he is still at the center of almost every attacking move that Watford has going forward. He has not had good finishing or good fortune in the last few weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think
he's not a good finisher.
He's still getting on the ball, and I think that counts for so much. Like we're saying, we have this whole mess of midfielders to sift through. Richarlison is nailed. He's young, healthy, he's nailed, and he is getting all these touches in and around the box. What more do I want from a 6.6?
I don't know, but he has had some tough fixtures too. So I think that's a factor as well. Yeah, Lingard has, so he started the last three. I mean, he hasn't even played the full 90 in any of those three, but he has picked up three goals and one assist in the last three matches. I do think that he is, what I love about Man United, a player like him, Man United, is fixtures are so good moving forward. They play Bournemouth, West Brom, Leicester, Burnley, Southampton, in the next five, really all through the holidays, right? I mean, you have to go into the end of January before you find a fixture that's really kind of scary, and that's Spurs away.
Mm-hmm.
They might win five or, you know, they might win five of their next six games.
Yep.
And, you know, Lukaku will probably start picking up goals again, and we're all going to have to consider whether we want to bring him in. It's going to make me sick because I was like, do you ever see Big Fish, Brandon?
Yeah, that's the Tim Burton movie with Ewan McGregor.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's that scene at the end where the kid is just so mad at his dad, you know, and he's like I believed in you for so long, so much longer than everybody else. And that's how I feel about Lukaku. It was like I held on to him so much longer. And so when I finally let go, I was like, this is over, man. Like, we are – Josh Landon and Romelu Lukaku are broken up.
Wow.
Like, this is not
no
a thing.
Backsliding.
No backsliding. So I'm definitely not going to bring him in, like, anytime soon. But, I mean, Bournemouth, West Brom, if you still have Lukaku, you can't get rid of him now.
Yeah, and
I mean,
this was my worry about bringing the United backup keeper in. I'm losing – I've got, like a lot of people, I'm just really sort of licking my lips thinking about Pogba as an option in 2 weeks' time. So,
well,
yeah.
You were talking about Lingard, too. It sounded like you were or no, it was Richarlison that you were kind of licking your lips over. You really.
I want all these guys, Josh. Lingard doesn't interest me as a player, as an FPL asset. He's had a couple of decent runouts. He didn't look bad today against City, but... I don't see the upside there.
What about Damari Gray? What are your thoughts on Damari Gray?
Damari Gray's
5.3 million.
I think it's great that he's getting his due. I think in Leicester's title-winning season, he was the super sub, always looks really poised on the ball for a young player. You know, that
three
goal.
Goals in his last seven.
Yeah. I mean, I wish that that goal he scored this weekend wasn't a deflected one, because if it was just a clean shot in the upper 90, it would have been beautiful, spectacular, undeniable, grace straight into my side. But somewhat diminished by the deflection. This Leicester team, I'm not totally sold on. I see Mahrez's price is going up tonight, and I'm kind of taken aback. I mean, Mahrez has had decent returns for the first 15 weeks. Yeah. It's not been bad, but 8.4 for a Leicester team that we're not quite sure what's going to happen week to week.
Brandon, those price changes took place as I recorded. He's now 8.5. It's already happened.
Oh no! Did I miss my Rob Elliott move,
Mr. Moment? So we'll see if the Elliott move actually went through in a second here. Mahrez, though, I mean, 9-6-9 in the last three. Okay, here would be the argument for bringing in Mahrez, maybe as a like Sané swap. Let's say he's going to play every single game, right? Like they know they're losing him. They know they're not going to win the league this year. There's no reason not to play him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only reason not to bring him in as a fantasy asset is because his price is high and his haircut's stupid, right? And if you can get past those two things, he's only owned by 5.5% of all managers. Uh-huh. He's on 84 points in this. And he's actually had quite a sneaky good season. I mean, 4 goals and 7 assists.
Yeah.
He already has 3 more assists than he had last season.
Yeah. That was probably one of my loudest swears in the house this weekend is when watching that Mahrez run and goal. That was probably top swear this weekend from me.
Like out of joy?
That was spectacular swear.
Yeah. It was an amazing, like it was such a nice goal. It was, you kind of knew it was going to happen before. Like it was like, he took it and you're like, oh, he's going to score on this. Yeah. Like he just had that like moment where he was like, I'm just going to try harder than all the defenders that are in front of me.
You remember when Fox put the microchip in the hockey puck, so you could track the hockey puck easy around the hockey rink? Like this red dot, and then when somebody would shoot it, it would leave a streak behind. I feel like that this is the Fox hockey puckification of Mahrez with his haircut.
Yeah, that, you're right. He's like and there's like a little like Super Saiyan thing going on too, I guess. Yeah. So we like
I like Gray.
We like Damari. We like Gray. I like his price a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he's as a fifth mid. I don't. You know, he might be a little rotation risky. Mm-hmm. I think Shaqiri is the one that I wish I had on my team right now. If I were looking to drop Aaron Ramsey, I think Shaqiri is the player that I would look at. He's not a very sexy pick. I feel like he's 6.1 million. And he already has more goals, or actually he has as many goals as he had all of last season. He already has 3 more assists. Not only that, but the run of fixtures for Stoke is quite good. They play Burnley away, which is okay, not a great fixture. But then they play West Ham, West Brom, both at home, Huddersfield away, and then they play Newcastle at home in game week 22. So they do play Chelsea away in game week 21, but 5 of those 6 fixtures, certainly 4 of those 6 fixtures are excellent. And he's another player kind of like Mahrez, where he's just going to play every game. There's no reason not to play Shaqiri. Yeah. Like you're not saving him for something. You know, you just run him out every week and see what he can do.
Yeah. The Sigurdsson shout from the question earlier confuses me, because I'm not convinced that Sigurdsson even touched the ball in the Merseyside derby. He's just been remarkably invisible this entire season.
I think the player, if we're talking in that 7 to 8 range, I think the player that's intriguing is Son.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Who, you look at where Dele Alli is not getting anything done. Son is taking that opportunity to do it. I do like that shout.
You just have to accept with Son that he is going to miss some games. He's not going to start some matches. And if you can accept that risk and not like flip out when he doesn't start, which is going to happen, right? Because he already, let's see, how many games has he not started this year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. you know, so 7 of the 16 matches this season, he has not started, yeah, right?
Right.
So was it like 40%? Mm-hmm. He'll probably start more in a row now because he's in good form. He's one of those players that gets in really good form. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll pick up double digit returns for, you know, 3 games in a row or something like that.
And he wants to score goals like nobody. I mean, the only person on that team who wants it more is Harry Kane, but he's got a hunger.
Yeah. Anthony Marshall, we had a question on Twitter about Marshall. I don't know. I just don't. I mean, the fixtures are good for Man United. I guess I'd just as soon have Lingard, right? For almost $3 million cheaper.
Yep.
Has anyone else intrigued you here? I mean, okay, so you're still on Richarlison.
Yeah.
But just straight up, if you had, let's say you had $7 million to spend and no more than that to replace Aaron Ramsey. Let's say you had $8 million to spend. No, let's say 7.5. Because yeah. I want to take Son and Marshall out of the category. Who would you spend your money on to replace Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on with Shaqiri there. 6.1, really great value in that price bracket. Sermon is at Bournemouth. Does stand out because if we're talking about value, 4.8, and he's come away this season with 2 goals and 4 assists, 2 assists in the last 2 game weeks. He's nailed on 90 minutes. I just wish that Bournemouth were a slightly better team and had much better fixtures.
Yeah, I think it'd be worth it to pay a little more. I'd rather have Damari Gray or... especially if you're replacing Ramsey, you've got the money. So I would look at Shaqiri or Lingard. You know, Lingard is the only, you know, the reason to look at. Well, I think Shaqiri is a little more explosive. I think he offers more goal and more assist threat.
Yeah, I mean, but let's be clear. Stoke are terrible, but they have a terrible, you know, they're terrible defensively. And they've been leaking goals, but they've shown some decent prowess going forward.
Shaqiri is just gearing up for the World Cup, right? He's just like that. That's what he is. This season is just like gearing up.
Yeah, the only reason we're talking about Shaqiri is because he had a really great World Cup 4 years ago. So
exactly. Isn't it crazy that Switzerland have qualified for 4 consecutive World Cups, by the way?
Yeah, who knew?
But we think, you know, Choupo-Moting is he is a forward, but for a forward, he doesn't really touch the ball a lot. You know, he's sort of I'm surprised he doesn't use his head more often. He's pretty tall.
He's too unselfish.
Yeah, he actually is kind of too unselfish, isn't he?
And Pascal Gross, I'm sorry.
He's like Kolasinac. I was going to say he's like Kolasinac. Like Kolasinac, man, shoot on goal more often. He's always laying it off to somebody.
last, I guess we had to point out Pascal Gross and Brighton along with Gross, just like a heinous dip in form.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I got off of Gross when I did. It looks like his best days are behind him. I'm sure he'll come good on occasional game weeks. Coming up, and he'll probably get a decent amount of playing time during the festive fixtures. Not advocating you dump him if you've got bigger problems to solve, but I think Brighton is on the stay away from list at the moment.
Yeah, it's not you, it's your team, Pascal Gross. All right, it brings us to the final categories. This is going to be like a 3-hour podcast. Defenders. Great first question. Harbuzi one. This is another Slack question, Brandon.
Says love that Slack.
Replacement for alwayscheating.com. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. Replacement for Mamadou Sakho. Nailed on. Doesn't get injured. Has good fixtures. That's all I want. $5 million or less would also be a bonus. So, Brandon, if you need to replace Sakho, this is kind of like the Aaron Ramsey question. Who are you looking at? Who's your Sakho replacement?
Okay, so you told me to look at the questions before we recorded, and I came to this question, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty easy one. Just pull up the old season ticker, look down the list of teams that have nailed on central defenders and good runs of fixtures, and man...
Yeah.
Hard to find anyone to recommend here. I mean, going back, we were just talking about Brighton, and you know, Duncan Duffy are kind of the ultimate budget bench defenders this season.
Yeah,
sadly, they don't do anything except drop clean sheets and score own goals. And you look at their fixtures coming up, pretty decent. I mean, they have Spurs in midweek, but then 2 home fixtures in a row against Burnley and Watford. Then away to Stamford Bridge, but then it brightens up again with Newcastle and Bournemouth. So these guys are nailed, right? Shane Duffy is due a goal off of a set piece. So I keep saying, everyone keeps hoping. I think I think it will happen. But that does fulfill the requirement.
Yeah, I think. I think Tarkovsky is still a player that you could look at.
I wish we knew who this guy had, because I think first and foremost, Burnley is the start, set and forget start every week 4.5 defender.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, because obviously, you know, Ben Mee looks like he's going to be back at midweek. You might as well just pay a little less and get Tarkovsky. I don't think that I don't know. I mean, some people feel differently than me about Mee. I mean, I know the underlying stats indicate that he might have a little more goal threat. I haven't really seen it. Just the way he heads the ball, I've never really been that impressed with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so they've lost. They've lost Loughton and they lost Mee, and they stuck up a clean. I mean, their defensive approach is really a collective approach, and it seems like they can really, they can kind of slot people in as needed. I mean, Long played in central defense for the first time this season, and he picked up a bonus point. So, I think that, I look at Burnley. Maybe, you know, Jonjo Kenny at Everton is an interesting option, right? He's 4.3 million.
Yep.
They play, you know, Newcastle, Swansea, West Brom, Bournemouth. Looks like he, I don't want to say nailed, because, you know, he's a young player.
Well, I can say
a little bit.
Yeah, I could say this. I was on Reddit earlier today, and some Everton fans on the FPL Reddit thread were saying, yeah, Kenny is, so long as Coleman is out, Kenny's got that spot locked down. There may be other Everton fans listening who might quibble with that, but it seems like some Everton fans are saying Kenny is a go. Go for it.
What about if you had a little more money, if you could do 5.4 million, could you bring in Chris Smalling? Would you be able to stomach it, Brandon?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, nobody likes Chris Smalling. He's a doofus. Everything about him is just strange. his goatee is peculiar. But yeah, United are great for clean sheets, and if you can afford him and you want to get into that whole mess, do it.
Yeah, it's hard to know who you'd advocate for in the United defense right now outside of De Gea. You've got Phil Jones, who supposedly is back, but didn't even make the squad today. You know, just with Jones, like, do you really want to deal with that, right?
No.
Like, do you want to deal with the Jones
thing?
Not
right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Marcus Rojo, just not.
He's a walking yellow card.
Clean enough. Okay. Yeah, subbed off at halftime, possibly with an injury. So Smalling, I guess, is the best option. I mean, my concern is that when Bailly is back and if Jones starts playing again, does Smalling lose a spot? I mean, I guess those guys can play together if they play three at the back. I think Smalling is maybe worth the risk at 5.4 million. I actually have enough money that I could move Daniels to Smalling, which is kind of tempting, but I think I'm just not going to deal with it. But I have a lot of concern about not having any Man United defensive coverage over the next few game weeks.
And the pro there is you're spending 5.4 on one of the best defenses in the league. Smalling falls out of favor, falls out of the starting 11. You've got 5.4 to spend in your defense, and as we're discussing, there are options there if you have that much money. I mean, you could be looking at Christensen if he's still that cheap. You could turn Smalling into Christensen at some point if that became a worry.
All right, what about West Ham? It's an interesting option to know. They play Arsenal at midweek, but after that, they're away to Stoke, home to Newcastle, away to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
They do have a blank in game week 21 because that double game week, though.
Yeah, Lanzini was one guy we didn't talk about in the midfield section that is slightly intriguing. It's nice to see that West Ham are playing a little bit better under David Moyes, but yeah. Their defense is so creaky, and I don't trust it. I'm not terribly interested in it at the moment.
The Lanzini problem is like one of those, if you played the FPL game for too long,
yeah.
Like, it's just like I've never had him at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've always had him for the four-game stretch where he doesn't, like, even start.
And West Ham you know, never delivers
one assist and four fixtures.
Yeah, and West Ham, they just never deliver on double game weeks is the problem. I think Lanzini burned a lot of people, like, two seasons ago.
Masuaku at 4.4 million, though, I mean, that is tempting. He started the last four games. He's got a lot of attacking threat. I don't know if you saw any of the West Ham game this weekend, but...
I did.
He's kind of dangerous, and I think that... 4.4 million. I mean, I might be looking at my replacement for Mbemba right there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, you like anybody who plays on a bad defense, they have to have attacking threat. So there you have it. That's a goodbye.
Yeah. All right. So there's that long-winded response. It's maybe Masuaku, maybe Tarkowski.
Should we mention Watford defense real quick? Are you thumbs up, thumbs down on Watford defense? They haven't kept like any clean sheets. They have a lot of intriguing players, but on the whole, not good for points.
It's kind of hard to know which defender to bring in. You know, they all get rotated a lot. I mean, I guess Cavaselli seems to play. I could even like pick these guys out of a lineup, right? Outside of Holobas and I guess Mariappa. Mariappa, like, surprisingly consistent in terms of, I mean, he started the last five matches. He's 4.1 million. I mean, Palace, Huddersfield, Brighton, Leicester, Swansea in the next five. Gomez at 4.5 million. I guess if you had enough money to spend a little more on an Elliott replacement.
Ziegler was the guy until the red card, because he was looking really tasty. Lots of great wing play, two assists in one game week. But no, sorry. Bye, Ziegler. He pulled a Britos.
Yep. See you on Boxing Day. all right, Brandon. So I'm going to cut the defensive section short here. Sorry, Dad. We had a lot of other questions, but we're going to move on here. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
It's time to talk about our friends at Starting 11, the daily fantasy app for the Premier League that is available for your iPhone and your Android. Josh, I spent a lot of time this weekend watching Premier League alone, but I wasn't truly alone because I was also playing Starting 11. This is totally not scripted, by the way. I'm just making this up as I go.
It sounds scripted. Yeah. Go on.
I was playing. I had friends in the Starting 11 app who I was playing in real time with while watching Premier League fixtures. Because the cool thing you can do with Starting 11 is you have no budget. You kind of set a squad with whoever players from any team that's playing on that particular day, any day where there are at least two Premier League matches, you can play Starting 11. So and then as you're watching the game, you can make live substitutions with your squad as the action unfolds. So we at Always Cheating, me and Josh, we're accepting head-to-head challenges from all of our listeners. If you want to download the Starting 11 app, do it, then hit us up on a direct message, Twitter, Facebook, email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com, and we'd love to play against you at Starting 11. And go ahead.
I was gonna say, I mean, the way to find out if you like it or not or what it is, you know, we can describe it, you know, forever on the podcast, but just to, you know, play it once, you get a feel for it. And as I mentioned before, I am just drinking beer and watching games and recovering from my oyster hangover this Wednesday. So hit me up and I'll play anybody, and you can get a chance to, you know, try it out, and it's free. So you can see if it's something you want to do.
Yeah, there's a demo video at starting11.io. That's starting11.io. Get a little brief introduction to the app, or go back into the SoundCloud archives of Always Cheating, and we have a special bonus pod interview with co-founder Thomas Braun, where he walks through the finer details of the thinking behind Starting 11. I think they have some announcements, new features for the app that are coming up soon, so stay tuned to Always Cheating for more.
Yep, exactly. Starting11.io is where you can find out more. All right, yeah, so hopefully I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Yeah, online.
Part two, Josh. It's lightning round time. We have more questions to answer from the Slack channel, from Twitter. Our listeners have questions. We have 100% correct answers, as you so often offer on your advice shop on Twitter, Josh.
That's right. Someone got very mad at me for advocating. He was asking if he made a good move and it involved Ziegler. And then when the red card came, he like was like, why did you tell me that was a good move? And I was like, I can't predict a two-footed challenge like that. I'm not God, even though I like to pretend I am when I answer those questions. Safia says, triple captaining Kane in the upcoming double game week, yes or no? To me, it seems like we're unlikely to get a better chance this year. Players like Sanchez, Aguero, Salah, Lacazette are all way more prone to rotation than Kane. In some of those cases, that's true. So no point waiting until April to see what we get. Now, Brandon, we're going to talk about this at length in the coming weeks, but just what's your gut instinct right now in this lightning round section of the podcast? Do you think that you'll be triple captaining Kane?
No.
In game week 22?
No, I will not.
It's because you got burned last year, right?
I got burned on the early triple captain on Aguero last year. I think I only walked away with one goal and then just a terrible, gross performance against Stoke City, who we have like talked about weirdly a lot this episode of the podcast.
yeah. It's fantasy, not real life.
Yeah. I think we're all kind of anxious for a little juice. It's been a tough season. We want something fun and positive to dwell on and think about. I think that's why we're discussing the possibility of triple captaining Kane, but the fact is his form and the form of that Spurs team has been dipping in and out, and I'm not totally trusting of him, and I want to see what else is on offer with other double game weeks coming up. What about you?
Yeah, it's just hard for me to pull the trigger on the triple captain. I mean, you know, I think I've already heard some very compelling arguments for it. I mean, to me, you know, you often do get, I mean, the rationale for triple captaining, you know, Sergio Aguero last season kind of early on was, well, we'll never get another chance again. And it turned out that I had a chance to triple captain Harry Kane with two, you know, extraordinarily good fixtures. I think I picked up four goals and an assist with that triple captain.
Yeah.
So it was like 75
and all four of those goals were in one game.
Yeah, exactly. But it was amazing. I think like three of them were in the second half. So, you know, I do think that I just, you know, maybe it's just if you, you know, play the game in a less emotional way, then maybe there is a logic argument for it. But I don't want to spend the next 15 weeks worried about what triple captains might be able to get played. I just feel like I put all my cards on the table a little too soon if I play it now.
Now, let's be clear. Disclaimer. I don't think that always cheating is advocating for just be boring, follow the herd, play the triple captain or your wild card later on when everybody else does. And we've talked more about playing an early wild card than an early triple captain. But if you're feeling it, go for it. And, you know, there have been people that have already played their bench boost or their free hit, and they've collected points because of it. I mean, if you feel like the numbers are there and feels right to you, I don't think we say you absolutely have to do what everybody else does and wait. I think that's not the point of why we're answering the way we are.
Yeah. I agree.
Was that lightning round enough an answer for you?
Yeah, it was. Even then, it was a little long. Adam Benjamin, if I was going to transfer out Aguero and I don't want Lukaku and I already have Morata, do I, A, get a different high-priced striker? I think the only higher-priced striker is Harry Kane. Or do I get a low-priced striker and move the money into my midfield?
Okay, so let me get this straight. Adam wants to get rid of Aguero. Fair. I would, too.
Yeah, I kind of misread bullet A there, because he just says high price striker, doesn't it be higher than Aguero's price? So
okay, fair enough. Okay,
Adam, I'm nothing if not fair.
And yeah, Adam doesn't want Lukaku, which I'm also on board with that. We're missing one crucial piece of information here, Adam. Do you or do you not have Harry Kane? I think uniformly we've all agreed that Kane and Morata are the best two strikers to have up front at this point in time. We haven't seen many differentials out there. I mean, I'm thinking about maybe turning Morata to Firmino, as I discussed earlier. That does seem a bit maverick at the moment. So I think if you've already have Kane and Morata, then get rid of Aguero and turn him into a lower price striker and move the money into your midfield. Right.
Yep. I think so. There's just so many midfield options, and it does feel like there's a bit of a template forming in the forward line. But it's really just it's built around Kane and Morata, and I think that third option is kind of a wild card because you're as likely to get points right now, it seems like, from a 6.1 million Charlie Austin as you are from a 8.5 million Jamie Vardy or Firmino, and
or even Lacazette.
Maybe Firmino a little more, but yeah. even Lacazette. But Lacazette, so you know, Lacazette. If he were priced like Giroud was last, if he's 8.5 million, I love Lacazette. At 10.5, I just don't feel like I'm getting the kind of returns that I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, next question comes from Peter Olson, who says, so Morata has one attacking return in the last four game weeks. but everybody speaks so highly of him. What are your thoughts? So we've talked a bit about how Murata is in the attacking template. Do we think he's a must own?
Yeah, I actually think he's played extremely well, and you know, not scoring some goals and, you know, two of the last three fixtures has really come down to a bit of luck or bad luck, maybe. Yeah. I mean, if Fabianski plays more poorly 2 weeks ago, he probably has a brace in that game.
On the same note, if you compare Murata's recent performances to Lukaku's, Murata isn't getting goals. He's still getting chances, and he's taking the chances reasonably well. Either he's missing by fractions or the shots are being blocked. He still looks good, just like you say. But then you compare him to Lukaku, who's not getting attacking returns. He's not getting opportunities. He can't make his own shot. When he does have an opportunity, he totally fluffs it. So, yeah, Murata looks great. I'm not worried about him not getting returns at the moment.
The West Ham game was completely understandable. I mean, they played a midweek Champions League fixture against Atletico Madrid, one of the absolute toughest sides in Europe. I know they just got knocked out of the Champions League, but nobody wants to play Atletico Madrid. You know, 90 minutes with, you know, with the heart of that team playing outside of Marcus Alonso, the only guy who didn't play was kind of a regular on that squad. And then they had to turn around and play the early morning Saturday fixture against a West Ham team that absolutely needed a win. It was just a tough turnaround. And I think West Ham just wanted it more. And I think that we'll see, you know, I think we'll see a correction at midweek. I actually think they're going to destroy Huddersfield. I think that I guess maybe there's a little risk about who's going to play for them, which might keep me from captaining their players. But I think they're going to win that game like 4-0.
Yeah. Just a side note on post-match West Ham-Chelsea. David Moyes was on the screen and my wife walks into the room and she's like, who is that? He looks tired. And Moyes does look, he looks like the emperor. He looks like Emperor Palpatine now, that like wrinkly face.
All right. KGFPL says, I still don't own Salah. He says, I know, and need to buy back Kane. Do I bring the both in tonight for a minus 12, given their easy midweek fixtures, or I'd take a minus 4 to bring one of them now and the other one on Saturday for another minus 4? A minus 12, especially with the midweek fixture where you don't know that they're going to play even.
Yeah.
I cannot advocate for a minus 12. You need a lot of things to go right for that not to really cost you a lot of points. I guess, of the two, Kane is probably the most likely to start.
I took a minus 8 to get Salah in a couple weeks ago, and it hurt, but I had to do it. So I do feel for you, KG. Like, you see this issue needs to be resolved ASAP, particularly with the prices potentially on the rise. I would just say watch. Go to fplstatistics.co.uk and monitor their price rising. If it's getting to the point where you're going to lose them and you're not going to be able to afford them after a 0.1 uptick, then maybe you have to think a little more strongly about pulling the trigger. But if you can still afford them after the next game week deadline, then yeah, absolutely. Just do a minus 4, minus 4. Don't do a minus 12.
Yep. All right, next question. John Talladay, how do you think the teams with new managers will do? Can we expect to see Everton and West Ham climb the table? I like that Alan Pardew's West Brom doesn't even pop up on here. I don't know if we can do this in 30 seconds. I think that both of them, well, okay, West Ham have responded more positively than I expected. Everton, I think we all knew that Allardyce would get that sorted out, like, basically instantly.
Yeah.
Which has turned out to be true.
His magical earpiece.
Yeah, I kind of hate the way people talk about him sometimes. Like, I guess he sets himself up for it because he's so pompous. But, I mean, damn if he doesn't, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, who knows what he would look like if you were the manager of Man United or something. I mean, it's impossible to even imagine, you know?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting question. I do like him. I like his general demeanor. I didn't like how his dander got all up about Marco Silva, but yeah, I like him. I actually want him to come manage the United States men's national team. That is my favorite job for him.
That would be I was really hoping that would happen.
I can't even think about Pardew at West Brom. Like, West Brom have to be like, what did we just do? Oh, my God. I mean, I understand that the players just, like, stopped flat out playing for Pulis, but I just wonder if they could have gotten over that hump with Pulis.
Yeah, it was an overcorrection. Yeah. You know, because I mean, he's not really known for his defense. All right, let's I can't talk about Partey either. That's a separate. Ujan says Otamendi or Christensen. It's a great question. Otamendi is scoring the goals, but Christensen has overall better games.
Yeah.
So I thought this was cut and dry like a week or two ago. I thought it was all Christensen, but like Otamendi is so attacking right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very good. Always present and has a nose for goal on those corners for sure. Do you think these clean sheets are going to start materializing for Chelsea? They've got to, particularly starting with Huddersfield midweek.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Newcastle one was a fluke goal in some ways, right? Kind of, you know, fell right into, I can't remember what the goal scorer was. No, it fell right into his path. And the goal this week was in the first couple minutes too. I mean, they've dominated both of the two games they've conceded goals in.
Yeah.
And, this happened a little bit with Man City last year. I remember where they were dominating matches and then they would just have one little blip
It's still happening with Man City, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. I think for them, that's more a function of their style. I think with Chelsea, it's more of a blip. I do think the clean sheets.
Otamendi is probably even more nailed on than Christensen. I mean, it looks like David Luiz might be totally out of the picture at this point. But
Romelu Lukaku, like, I can't believe he played two players in on goal this week, or whatever you want to call. And just these like hacked clearances. Like, I wonder what the player ratings were for him after this game. Like, were they like negative numbers? Yeah.
It was all perfectly set up for Lukaku playing at home for his new club to do something positive in front of the fans in his first local derby there. And he had what will be remembered as the worst performance. He botched, like, I mean, he shot the ball into the goalkeeper's throat, which was insane. And then he set up the other two goals for City. It's just crazy.
He almost scored a goal. He set up two goals for Man City and almost scored a goal for them. He would have been man of the match for Man City. Yeah. that was tough. Tony Irvin says, let's just move on. Sick of Pep and his rotation. No Aguero. No Aguero again for me. Do I keep him for Swansea away or get red? I think you've got to keep him for Swansea away. I mean, unless he's injured.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that he didn't play at all, but I'm sure he's back.
The way Aguero popped up off the bench at the final whistle and he was walking onto the pitch, it didn't look like he's like suffering from anything that
you never know.
You do know.
Phil Jones was like jumping on players' backs for team photos at midweek and wasn't even the squad. All right, Low Techers, is the Chelsea defense we're sticking with? All right, we just answered that. We think it is. AM Saturday, do you think Everton will go through a good spell of games during Christmas? If so, what position is ideal to invest in? So we did talk a little bit. We kind of circled around Everton a little bit this podcast. I think John Joe Kenny is the one player I would look at as a 4.3 million defender.
Yeah, it's all about the budget here. Calvert-Lewin and John Joe Kenny seem like the standout picks because they're cheap ways to get into a team that, like, I think AM is right. I think we'd all agree, like, Everton look like they're on the upswing. So finding a cheap way in there through Kenny and Calvert-Lewin is good. You also mentioned Pickford on last week's podcast, which I think is a good shout. If you have an issue with your goalkeeper setup, Pickford could be an interesting answer there.
Yep, I agree with all that. And I guess I'm just gonna write it out with Fabianski now. I don't know. I don't know what to do there.
Well,
it feels like a luxury transfer to drop him because he can still get save points.
He will get save points. He's a decent shot stopper. I mean, the Swansea are terrible, but he's a decent shot stopper.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it, though. All right, Brendan, those are that's the lightning round. That's this week's questions. Game week 17 starts up on Tuesday. We talked a little bit about the transfers we're going to make. What captain options are you looking at for game week 17?
All right, so this is catching on. This is catching fire on the internet, Josh, the term bus team. So we talk a little bit about how we all set our teams for the following game week, like this weekend, right when the first whistle blew for Chelsea West Ham. We set our bus team. we walk out that door, we get hit by a bus, and we're dead. We want people.
No, I don't think dead. I just think in a coma for a week. Okay. Thereabouts. Okay.
So you're still getting the best possible point score even when you're in a coma. So
because I need to reset that team the next week. Yep. You know. Yeah.
So if I'm looking at my bus team right now, I'm counting on Mo Salah playing. I like the armband on Mo. West Brom are clearly terrible. Liverpool are playing at home.
Okay, let's lay our cards on the table here, Brandon. Uh-huh. Should we even talk about captains if we're all just going to chicken out and captain Harry Kane every game week? Is it even worth having a captain discussion if that's what we're going to do every time anyway?
Yeah.
Because it's very hard not to captain him away to Brighton. I mean, Brighton have not been playing well. They're home. Home to Brighton. Not in very good form at the moment. Brighton can, like, you know, they played Arsenal pretty tight earlier on in the season when they went to the Emirates. And, I think it's a tough one. I think Salah is a good option there, too. I mean, those are the two options, right? Anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, Manchester City player that you know is nailed on, sure. Good luck with you there. But they're probably going to demolish Swansea. And Chelsea as well. That's a rotation question. I think Hazard is a great option because I'd be shocked if Hazard didn't start midweek. But
yeah, I think Hazard is a great option too. So you've got a lot of. I was looking at my team. I feel very good about my team going into these fixtures. Like it's a good week to tinker at the margins because a lot of very highly owned players have good fixtures, and so it doesn't feel like there's a scramble to correct. It really comes down to the captaincy this week, and I think I'm gonna have to captain Harry Kane at home to Brighton because I just I won't be able to resist.
You know, it's kind of been funny for all of the Kanguish that we've been experiencing. He still remained the set it and forget it captain. I'm really impressed by the FPL community, how we've all just stuck by Harry Kane through thick and thin. And even in spite of it all, we keep armbanding him.
I guess it's because he has scoring 20 goals three seasons in a row definitely helps. I do think also that he has four goals in his last three matches. I mean, it's not like he's just completely out of form. I mean, and he scored a Champions League goal during that run as well. So what's 5 and 6 for him? I mean, it's, you know, perfectly reasonable returns for even a top class striker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I'm interested to hear everybody's thoughts online. Hit us up with your captain picks because there are a lot of great options out there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put a poll up on Twitter and just see what people are thinking right now. And, so you can join and check it out.
So it sounds like your transfer going into midweek is probably going to be to move out Chalobah.
Either Chalobah or Mbemba. Those are the two players I'm looking at right now. Yeah. I think Daniels, I hate his fixtures moving forward, but I think I've got two players who don't really start on my squad. And, you know, we're just about to run into, starting really with these midweek fixtures, a lot of rotation, I think. And I'm just feeling very nervous that I could have a game week where I had like 9 or 10 starters if I don't start to, you know, fill in these holes.
Yeah. Okay. And thinking about, we're not going to talk before next weekend, before game week 18. Are there any points we want to hit for the weekend? Maybe it's Man City hosting Spurs. That'll be a really interesting game.
No, it's too far away. We'll try to talk about it in the newsletter.
Yeah, subscribe to Cheat Codes, which will come out late Thursday, early Friday. And whatever thoughts we have on game week 18, we'll feature then. If there are any great developments in the game or injuries or whatnot, we'll be sure to highlight those in Cheat Codes. So just go to alwayscheating.com. There's a place on the homepage to sign up or just hit the newsletter tab and plug in your email, and it'll arrive for free right into your inbox.
All right, Brandon. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or you can just follow us on SoundCloud. We share it on our Facebook and Twitter page. And if you want to support the podcast during our Pledge Drive month, go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating. I know we're pushing it hard, and we'll stop doing that in a couple of weeks, but it is what it is.
Cool.
We are who we are. We are who you thought we were.
Yeah. We're not trying to hide anything from you guys. We're just shrewd businessmen, you know, looking to make a fast buck.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck this weekend, Brandon, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll see you at Oysters, buddy.
All right. See you then.